Track 18. Anna Sewell, The One Book Wonder. Black Beauty is one of the best-known books in English literature. Chris Armstrong looks at the life of its Norfolk-born author. Anna Sewell wrote just one book, which was published in 1877, just a few months before her death, but it has been continuously in print, has been translated into 50 languages, and has achieved worldwide sales of more than 50 million copies. Originally rather wordily entitled Black Beauty, His Grooms and Companions, The Autobiography of a Horse, the title under which it is generally published dispenses with all but the first two words of that original. But the longer version does offer a couple of clues as to the originality and the intentions of the author. First, it was not written as a children's story. It was intended to be a call to arms to those anxious to do something to reduce the cruelty to horses, which some saw as part and parcel of Victorian life, especially in the cities where the horse then fulfilled the roles taken today by the bus, the taxi and the delivery van. Second, the manner of writing was highly original. Anna Sewell didn't tell the story of Black Beauty. Black Beauty told his own story. This device has been used since, for example, in the 1982 book War Horse, but the technique seems to have originated with Anna Sewell. Anna Sewell didn't have the most settled of childhoods or the most comfortable of lives. Born in 1820 in Great Yarmouth, where her father Isaac was a partner in a failing drapery business, her original home was a tiny three-storey property virtually under the shadow of St. Nicholas Church on Church Plain. Isaac, a Quaker, was involved in a series of unsuccessful retail enterprises both in Yarmouth and elsewhere. Leaving Yarmouth, he opened a new shop selling Quaker clothes in London, moving on to another when that failed, and finally to a third whose collapse resulted in his bankruptcy. Her mother, Mary, came from what had been a prosperous Norfolk family, the Wrights, but their wealth had diminished substantially when one of her ancestors invested in a steam packet to make regular trips between Norwich and Yarmouth. All went well until Good Friday 1817, when the boat set off from Norwich with 22 passengers heading for Yarmouth on a pleasure trip. Before it had gone more than 20 yards, the boiler exploded and killed nearly half the passengers, with most of the rest badly injured. Eyewitnesses at the time described how the River Wensum turned red with blood. The explosion was rumoured to have resulted from the deliberate restriction of a steam escape pipe to enhance the vessel's power so as to win a bet on its speed. Whether that was the case or not, Wright had to fund large compensation payments. Even for a family which had previously been partners in a Lombard Street bank, these were enough radically to change the family's financial position. They did, however, keep a farm at Buxton, where Mary's parents lived, and which Mary's brother farmed. When Isaac first moved to London, Mary and Anna went to live on the farm in Buxton, and this is probably where Anna began her lifelong interest in animals. With the opening of his second shop, Isaac brought Mary and Anna to live with him, first in Hackney, which Mary compared unfavourably with her native Norfolk, and subsequently in Dalton, which at that time still had some semblance of rurality, enabling the family, now expanded by the addition of Anna's brother Philip, to enjoy a taste of country living. By this time, Isaac had given up working for himself and was employed as a traveller in Nottingham lace. Anna was not sent to school. Before her marriage, Mary had worked as a governess and had firm views on the upbringing of a child, and she elected to educate Anna at home. The family spent 10 years in Dalton, returning by stagecoach to Buxton during the holidays, a journey of about 17 hours. Anna certainly enjoyed those times, probably more than the days in Dalton, where her mother's regime required a strict routine that left little opportunity for imaginative play. She was taught reading, writing, natural history and sewing, and expected to develop into a helpmeet for her mother. There was emphasis on duty and honesty. The days at Buxton were spent at the farm, the stables of which were perhaps the model for those of Black Beauty. While there, she learned to ride and must have enjoyed the freedom the farm property offered to roam and enjoy the natural world. Mary Sewell was deeply concerned with both nature and the education of children generally. As early as 1824, when Anna was just four, she had published a book called Walks with Mama, and later she was to write a number of other stories for children, one of which sold over 1 million copies. Walks with Mama was clearly aimed at the younger children. It contained only words of one syllable. Both the fondness for nature and the inclination to write must have been transmitted to Anna. In 1832, the family moved again, this time to a larger house in Stoke Newington, a house with its own orchard and meadows, and here the Sewells were able to keep pigs, cows and ducks. Anna took a special interest in the bees they also kept. But if this move reinforced her love of nature, it also changed her life forever, and not for the better. For the first time, she went to school, and on the way home one day she had an accident, slipping as she hurried home in a thunderstorm. Initially, her injuries were thought simply to be sprained ankles, but this was a misdiagnosis, and her mobility was so badly affected that she became virtually unable to walk or even to stand for any length of time. Always an active child, enjoying long country walks and picnics, she suddenly found herself almost housebound. The family had a small two-wheel carriage, and Anna became expert at driving it. One of her daily pleasures was driving her father to and from the station as he commuted to his work. He had become a bank manager in Brighton, to where the Sewells relocated, an amazing transformation for a former bankrupt draper. Perhaps his wife's family banking connection helped him on his way. Certainly, the family's financial position had improved. There were trips to continental spas to seek help for Anna, but with limited success. Mary's writing also helped the finances. Her ballad, Mother's Last Words, was published by Jarrells in 1865, selling over 1 million copies. Anna became increasingly sofa-bound and was to remain living with her parents for the rest of her life. She became very close to her mother. They moved several more times, in 1867 back to Norfolk to a house in Old Catton, not least to help her brother Philip, who had been widowed, bring up his 7 children. Philip was also a banker and had inherited property from his uncle. By this time Anna was editing her mother's writing and was assuming responsibility for as much of the household management as her incapacity allowed. They shared a number of views, supporting the cause of temperance, feeling loving and protective towards animals, especially horses, and having strong Christian convictions, although both left the Quakers and became Anglicans. They were also involved in helping to look after Philip's children. When Philip remarried in 1870, it was a time at which her health was deteriorating further, but his marriage relieved Anna from some responsibilities for looking after his family. Anna's love of animals manifested itself especially in her anger at any cruelty she witnessed, and Black Beauty's experiences pulling cabs in London probably reflect all that distressed her most. Soon, rather than just editing her mother's work, she was writing on her own account. It was slow progress. Her health continued to deteriorate, and it took her 6 years to complete her book. Generally, she could just about scribble a few words, which she would pass to her mother, who would put them together. Finally, in 1877, the book was complete, and Mary naturally took the manuscript to her own publisher, Jarrells. And here, there are divergent stories. What is clear is that someone got the bargain of a lifetime, and it wasn't Anna. Jarrells published the book having, it's generally believed, bought the rights of the book outright, though one source suggests that a London literary agent was the purchaser. The price paid was, depending on which source one consults, either £20 or £40. Either way, it doesn't seem much for a 50 million seller, which has so far been turned into a feature film at least 5 times and featured as a television series. Anna didn't live long enough to see how successful her book became, but it was on its way with over 30,000 sales before she died just a few months after publication at the age of 57. While she would have been delighted at the success of her efforts, one feels she would have been even more pleased by the impact the book had in furthering the cause of protecting vulnerable horses. The book engendered huge public support, both at home and in the United States. One of Anna's main concerns related to the use of what were called bearing reins. These were used to keep the horse's head high and would have been uncomfortable and even dangerous for the horse. As a result of the outcry, the use of such reins became banned in England and much less prevalent in the United States. She would undoubtedly have applauded her mother, who noticed that the horses in the cortege for Anna's own funeral were wearing them, and she insisted on their removal. Neither should we forget that the story of Black Beauty has entranced children around the world for generation after generation. Quite an achievement for an invalid scribbling a few words at a time on scraps of paper.